Okay, testing. All right. Because one of the things that the short video shows is we're not just touring the sites of Israel like normal tours. One of the things that you'll notice is Georgian plays the fiddle or the violin, and there's guitar players and there's musicians, and it showed them all kind of singing down the streets as through Jerusalem and singing. And so everywhere we go, we're stopping and just bringing the presence of the Lord into the midst of the city. Though we are going to go to all the spots, I think. And so we're pretty excited about that. So turn your Bibles to Psalm 122. And I'll start by saying the Psalms. You all know about Psalm 119. Who can tell me something about Psalm 119? What's different about Psalm 119? It's the longest chapter, I think, in the whole Bible. It's 176 verses long. They're all done in alphabetical order, and each one has, so it's A, B, C, D, and it starts with the letter, it's all alliterated. And it's acrostic, thank you. But most people believe that these 14 Psalms from 120 to 134 are the Psalms of Ascension or Psalms of Degrees, where every year all of Israel has to go to Jerusalem to a festival or a feast or a solemn assembly. All those things. And as the pilgrims are coming from all over Israel, they would sing these songs. Every day they would sing a new song. So like verse 1, I just want to run through a few of these things. It starts out in Psalm 120, "In my distress I cried unto the Lord." This is a long way from the house of God. This is 14 Psalms away from the temple of God, from Zion, from Jerusalem, up into where the presence of God was. And a lot of us take this and restate this as going to church. And I remember once a pastor said church was about to start, and everybody kind of went, okay, let's go. like you're about to get on the roller coaster at the fair, or you're about to do something really exciting, or who's jumped off the weir? Who's dove the weir? You know what it's like. For me, it's pretty scary up there, you know, and you're kind of, and if there's, I do better when there's a bunch of boys around saying, come on, let's go, Steve. And so, but there's this thing where it's kind of like, and then you're off. This is down the pothole. Same thing though, jumping off a rock into a pothole. And that was, I was way younger, probably 65 maybe. So this first one is like, I'm a long way from the Lord. I'm a long way from the house of God. I'm dry. I'm in a dry and thirsty land. Then it keeps getting better. These Psalms, these 14 Psalms, keep getting better and better and better. So the second one, 121, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. They're starting to see, you know? Like today when we drove over, I pointed out the weir to Zach, and I said, see that? See those rocks? We jump off those things. And Beth said, I said, the boys jump off these things. And Beth rebuked me soundly and said, I think there's some girls doing that too. And I said, wonderful, wonderful. So Psalm 122, I'm going to now back up. So keep your finger there. We're going to back up to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. There's my place marker. Okay. And this is, I don't know what verses what were you covering this morning in Psalm 25? Oh, Genesis, excuse me, a long way. Same promises though, right? This is where God, he's still named Abram, Father of a Nation, I think it's called. And now the Lord said unto Abram, Psalm 12, verse 1, or Genesis 12, excuse me, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in all the families of the earth, and in thee all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Father, we just receive your word today. We look at this and we see this great promise, this great covenant that he's made with Abram. And we just receive it as for ourselves as well. In Jesus' name. So he says to he makes a promise to a man that you're going to be a great nation, and I'm going to use you to bless the whole world. And if you look at the great advances in bettering the condition of the world, look and see how many Jews were responsible for that discovery, for that medicine, for that drip irrigation. How many have used drip irrigation? Where did it come from? Israel. It was dry there and they needed to water crops. And so they have done way disproportionate to the number of Jews in the world. They have done marvelous things to bless the world, and they have truly fulfilled this. But then there's also, we're in here too. I will bless them, verse 3, that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth that shall be blessed. Some people say, well, why do you, you know, the Jews have done a lot of wrong things too. You know, even the way they're running Israel today. So there's you can, just like politics in the USA, there's a lot of finger pointing going on. You could be doing this, and why are you doing this, and how come you're doing that? But it doesn't matter to me, because I'm told that if I bless them, I'll be blessed. I'll be blessed. And Chuck Smith, founder of Calvary Chapel, said one time a man came to him and said, I've just gotten a chunk of money. I've gotten a whole lot of money. What should I do to invest it in the kingdom? And Chuck told him, well, the Bible says if you give to the poor, you'll be blessed. And so he said, I'm doing it, Pastor. And he went out and he just gave some money to the poor, came back like a year later. I'm guessing all my times. He came back with $400,000 extra from his business. And he says, God, what can I do? Pastor Chuck, what can I do to be blessed? Because I want to give. But I'd like to sow it someplace where I know. And so Chuck read him this verse. If you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. And so he took his $400,000 extra, and he invested it in Israel, because there's a guarantee. If you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. Now, I don't know any more about that story other than I heard Chuck Smith tell that story, but that's a good principle, kids. This is for you, kids. Find something that the Bible tells you to do and do it, and you'll be blessed. And I don't want to say this is all about just making money, but it's partly about making money. If you want to make money, start to bless the Lord with your money. Start to bless the Lord. Start to bless Israel. And that's what you did. That's why we were thanking those of you that actually bought stuff for wounded Israelis or widow women in Israel. And if you're buying those kind of things, just as something that God laid on your heart, because we said, oh, we're going to Israel and we're going to have this party with all these kids and we're going to have a photo booth and we're going to do this stuff just to bless kids that are poor in refugee camps. It's double. Some will be Israelis, some will be poor. But when you learn to bless you kids especially, and you grown-ups, when you learn to bless people that God wants blessed, it's a way to if you do be one of the people that makes a lot of money, most people don't, but some people are called to it. If you start that and keep it going your whole life, I was saying, wow, $403,000. That's a lot of money. It's one thing to give 10 cents on a dollar allowance, but it's another thing to get a chunk of money and invest it in the kingdom. But it's not just money. It's time, energy, and money. Those are the three things you have to spend, you know, in your life. Time, energy, which means what are you focused on, thinking about, and money. Those are our big three things that we can invest in the kingdom. So, okay, so Psalm 122, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Does anybody know that song? I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me. You know that, Zach? This is an old Pentecostal song. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Now, there it is. That's verse 1. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go. Unto the testimony of Israel to give thanks in the name of the Lord for their set thrones. Then verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Speaking directly to Jerusalem as if it was a live spiritual entity, which in this context it is. But so what is one thing? So we're going to be praying, and you guys are going to be praying for us. One of the things you can pray for is the peace of Jerusalem. And shalom, does anybody know what that means? Peace. Shalom means peace. And that's what they say to say hello. In the Philippines, they say mabuhay, which means long life. Or they say magandang umaga, which means beautiful lunchtime or beautiful morning. And but in Israel, they say shalom to each other. And there's been lots. So, you know, the problem with Israel is where it is. It's on the main trade route from all of Africa, all of Asia, and all of Europe. It all focuses there. So you suppose if somebody's from Greek, you know, Alexander the Great, or he's wanting to conquer Cairo or conquer into Egypt, where is he going? Or Rome. You know, in the Bible, who was in charge in Jesus' day? Who ran the show? Who was the head government? Caesar, the Romans. And so why? Because it wasn't because they said, oh man, there's this cool city. It's called Big Creek. It's up in the middle of nowhere, and nobody's going there, and let's go conquer that. No, it's more like, let's take Los Angeles, where people are coming from the Pacific, from Mexico, from all of California, and all of the United States. That's a target. That's what Israel is. And so they get conquered over and over and over. And so peace is pretty important to them. Peace is really important to them. And so we're commanded here in verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say peace within thee. So here it says, so let's do it. We're supposed to say peace within thee. I will now say. So you see that in verse 8? Let's say that. everybody. Peace within thee is Jerusalem. Peace within thee. I don't know. Is it that way? Is Jerusalem toward the east? Maybe a little southeast? Maybe right about there? How am I doing? You think that's there? Xander, you know all this stuff. Is that about where Jerusalem is? Say yes, because... But we can say, now, we're not like in Islam where they face Mecca, but a lot of people prayed in the direction of the temple in Jerusalem. A lot of people in the Bible, when you pray toward my thing, you know, Solomon's temple. But so let's look at Israel. Let's look at Jerusalem, and let's just speak a blessing upon them right now. Okay, let's read this out loud together. Let's start with verse 6. This is our instruction. So we're reading this to ourselves. Pray together, everybody. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Now we're going to be speaking this just like we're speaking it to Jerusalem. I don't know what that means. How do you pray to a city? But I think we're praying because you know what was in Jerusalem? The manifest presence of God. So in this case, we really are praying this right to the Lord. So here we go, Lord. Verse 7, may peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brothers and my friends, I will now say, everybody, may peace be within you. Say that again. May peace be within you. So make this a part of your regular prayer life for the rest of your life. For the rest of your life. This is something which will bring the blessing of God upon Israel. It'll bless the heart of God, and it will bless you as well. The whole world will be blessed, because that's what the original promise we read to Abram back in Genesis 12. In you shall the world be blessed. So here we go. So this is something you need to have in your prayer life, and so do I. What was that verse again? Verse 8, may peace be within you. Oh, Lord, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray that there be peace and prosperity for the Jews that are there, for the Palestinians that are there, for all the strangers that are in the land, for all those refugees. Send them peace and prosperity. Peace and prosperity. What do we say? May peace be within you. May peace be within you. If, you know, we think that we struggle and we lose our victory and we lose our joy over this and that. Think about, you know, in Jerusalem last week, somebody opened up with a submachine gun and killed 11 people. Just had the worst act. We're a little nervous about going because somebody just opened up on a synagogue and killed 11 people. That's, you know, that means, and it hasn't, that kind of violence hasn't happened in a decade. So this is kind of, we're a little bit scary. So what do we think? Should we be scared or should we have peace, Nettie? I think, what do you think? Should we be scared or should we have peace? Or should we have both? You know, what we were talking about in the military, they say, paying attention is better than being afraid. Prudent peace. Yeah, situational awareness will keep you alive a lot longer than fear will. So, kids, when you're scared of something, look around and see what the whole picture is. Get a bearing on it. Get your feet under you. Like, what am I going to do now? Rather than, oh, what am I? Keep your head on. And get the peace. You still have to be scared sometimes. There's a number of other verses that this psalm, these degrees say. How about 124, verse 7? Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. When you're in trouble, going to church, and when I mean going to church, I don't mean the building. though it happens in the building a lot. I mean, it's you gather together with these people. When you're scared, when you have some problems, our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Who sings that song? Our soul's escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. What's that? Old Pentecost. See, you're getting the old stuff. In fact, yeah, that's another story. How about this verse here? Now, one of the things they say about Pentecostals is we sometimes swoon. Whoa, Lord. Well, here it is. It's chapter, I haven't said yet, 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Continue. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Then say among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. Answering your prayer, Emil. Right? One of the things we're to do is inspire jealousy. Not that we want people to think that they want, not, you know, not that we want people cranky with us, but that we want them to say, whoa, what's going on here? What's going on? Where's the root of this blessing? And they said among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. They, verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goes forth and weeps. Have you ever had stuff happen that just drove you to tears and you just don't know what to do? He that goeth forth and weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his harvest, bringing his sheaves with him. Okay, one other. I think I have two more verses. Okay. Oh, so you go to church. This is something which we don't practice as well as we should, church. Verse chapter 130. If thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Who's got that in the New American or the New International? Okay, church. Let's be godly here. This is me, the Lord. If the Lord kept a record of all your sins and mine, who can stand? Let him that has the no sin cast the first stone, right? And we all knew there was only one guy there who could throw the first stone, right? Jesus. But he said, neither do I condemn thee. Somebody once said, unforgiveness is the unspoken sin of the church. Unforgiveness. And as the sign used to say out here, back when Roger was the pastor, I believe, it said, it was unforgiveness of some, unforgiveness, having unforgiveness in your heart is like drinking poison and expecting somebody else to die. That's what it is when we hold on to unforgiveness. So let's let it go. Let's let it go. Why am I reading these verses here? This doesn't sound like the sermon, because this is all about going to Jerusalem. So you get to go with me. These are things that I'm working through. These are things that I'm trying Psalm 132. This is a Jesus psalm. Half of this psalm is about Jesus. I will clothe her priests with salvation, verse 16, and her praise, her saints shall shout aloud with joy. I know we're supposed to be quiet. But I didn't write this. Did David write this one? No, it doesn't say. Oh, Lord, remember David. So it's about David. But we get to shout. I will make the horn of David to bud. I have obtained a lamp for my anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame. Okay, and finally, the last two things. Verse 133, Song of David, behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Yeah, there goes the peacemaker though, right? There goes the peacemaker. That's one of the things we do. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. And then look at this. As the dew of Hermon that descends upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. And it all wraps up with Psalm 134. Come bless the Lord. Have you sung this one? All you servants of the Lord. You ever sing that here? Behold, bless ye the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, which stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. So next time you see somebody in church and they're just, or me, they're just praising the Lord, waving their hands before the Lord. Oh, you mean that's in the Bible? Come bless the Lord. Lift up your hands in the holy place and bless the Lord. And bless the Lord. Yes. And so they, verse, the last verse in the Songs of Degrees. The ascent. The Lord that made heaven and earth bless you out of Zion. Bless you out of Zion. So when we ask you to pray for us, this is the journey we're on. This is the journey we're on. And it seems like we're going to go and just do the stuff. Of course, the stuff is pretty cool. But we're all this stuff. In Psalm 120 to 134 is what going to Israel is all about. These are the songs that they sang on their journey into the presence of the Lord. And there's a lot of tough stuff in there and a lot of great blessing in there. And isn't that the way life is? Lord, we thank you that we get to go to your holy city. We get to go to the promised land, the land you promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they're there. They're there. And Lord, just help us to stand with Israel. And we bless them as weak vessels as we are, as weak vessels as they are. We have decided in our heart to obey the scriptures, and we bless Israel. We bless them with peace. We bless their leaders with wisdom. We bless their leaders with understanding. We bless their leaders with love and compassion for their enemies. In Jesus' name. Amen. What do we... Oh, it's time for communion. And so we started with the covenant. We started with the covenant, right? The covenant that God made with Abram. Well, this is about the covenant. Jesus said, this is my body. This is my blood. Well, it's a blood sacrifice, if I can say that. It's Jesus' blood, and he made a commitment to us. So communion is about a commitment. It's also about victory, but that's another story. Back to Melchizedek. Another story. Okay. Yeah. No, go ahead.
No, you're upper. You're upper.
Yeah. Okay.
So we practice open communion. So if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, doesn't matter age, doesn't matter what else. Like you said, I liked it. I thought you were going right into communion. You're talking about don't hold on to your own iniquities. Because all of us in the same place. If we held on to our iniquities, who could stand? That next verse, though, is, but those the Lord forgives, show him reverence or fear. So this is a table that everybody's welcome at. But come. Don't stay back. I once was ministering to someone, and she'd gone through a heck of a hard stretch of years. And I thought that she was breaking through. And so I invited her to church on a Sunday. And when communion came, she didn't feel worthy enough to take communion. And I realized, man, she hadn't broken through yet. Because you come here not because you have it together. You don't put it together to come here. You come here because he puts us together. You come here because you need the body and the blood of the Lord.
And when he had given thanks, Jesus broke the bread, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Lord, we see your body broken for us, for our healing, for our restoration, for our souls. We see this, we see your body, and we remember. We remember as if it was yesterday. We do this in remembrance of you. In the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." New Testament means new covenant. This is the agreement he made with us. This is the agreement he made with us. "This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes." So if you've got anything keeping you, like Pastor just said, if you've got anything holding you back, give it to the Lord right now. Just turn it over to God right now. Claim the blood of Jesus Christ. Agree with your enemy quickly. Say, "Okay, devil, yes, you're committing, you're after me, and I did it. I'm guilty." And the Lord is right there with his body and his blood to forgive us. Mm-hmm.